Kelly and I have done this many times before, but not in the past 1 to 1.5 years. And we were just both interested in getting on tonight to just talk with each other about the new skills manual and just the place of skills training in DBT now. Perry did encourage me to alert you to the training she mentioned, actually the two different workshops. One is the one she mentioned that Kelly and I are doing our fourth, I guess, advanced intensive training. It's 4 days. It'll be in Northampton, Massachusetts at Hotel Northampton, March 2nd, 3rd, 4th, and 5th, which is a Monday through Thursday. And if anyone's interested in that, you go to a website, www.Cutchins.org. Are the administrators of the conference, and also the details will be there. It's a experientially based conference workshop, really just designed to help everybody increase their skill level in every area of DBT. I'm also teaching a comprehensive 10-day training in also in Hotel Northampton, 5 days in March and 5 days in June. And that it's at the same website, and that'll cover all the standard topics of a 10-day intensive training, and there's room in both of these workshops if anybody's interested. So, you know, Kelly and I have, you know, as is often how we've done these, we haven't previewed with each other. We didn't talk it over. We've kind of talked about what the topic would be. We've each done a little thinking about it. And Kelly's been doing some preparation towards reviewing the new skills training manual. So I've asked her to lead off just what she's been thinking about, observing, thinking about the new manual in particular, getting input from other people. And so I'm just going to let her start out and talk for a while, and then I'll be coming in at some point along the way. And maybe play something like an interviewer of Kelly along the way, too. So Kelly, I actually don't know exactly what you've been doing, but I know from seeing emails that you've been asking for some input from people and in order to prepare some kind of review or critique of the new skills manual. So I'm just going to say that much and hand it over to you.
Okay, great. And it sounds like maybe we still have some phone lines unmuted, so just if you know, you may be able to be heard, it sounds like. So Charlie, I got asked to do a book review for a journal, and so I began, you know, obviously by getting Marcia's new manual, which is very exciting. But the other is I sent out a query to people who'd had the manual, the new manuals, for a while and who've been actually teaching from them, and did a little informal survey of what people were liking and how they were finding it and that sort of thing. So I'll report in a little bit about that.
Hey, Kelly, let me just ask again. I think almost everybody's muted, but you guys may not know it, but there's a couple of you out there at least that are not muted, that everybody can hear you whether you're laughing or talking to someone else. So take a look and make sure that you are on mute so that so everybody can just hear what we're saying.
Does that work?
Don't even know how you're supposed to mute yourselves, but if you know how, just do it.
That sounds good. So so Marcia's new manuals have come out. So in preparing this review of her new manuals, I solicited some feedback from...
Kelly, did we lose you?
Hello?
I hear you, Charlie, but I don't hear Kelly. What area code is she calling from, Charlie?
206.
I
assume she's back in Seattle, which would be 206.
Okay, let me just see if she got muted by mistake. I can't tell.
Charlie?
Oh, there she is. Okay, good.
Hey.
Kelly,
yes,
we lost you for a minute.
It did. It dropped or something.
Oh, okay, good.
So,
okay.
Michaela Swales is another person who's done a lot of looking over the new manual, and I saw her in London at their annual, is it DBT version, and so she and I have now had a chance to kind of compare notes too. So those are my sources. And in addition, you know, to Marcia's new manuals coming out, the other thing that's been coming out are a lot of new data about skills training as a standalone treatment, and not just for borderline personality disorder, but for a number of other disorders. And those new data, you know, with shorter formats and different patient populations, are pretty exciting, at least for some places where you can't do the full treatment. You know, is it possible to get good outcomes with skills training alone? So I'm hoping, Charlie, I'll go over what's new in these manuals and kind of what's exciting and where some of the glitches are. But it'd be great to be able to put our conversation also in the context of this new data, because it's starting to look like skills themselves are a powerful mediator of change. What do you think about that?
Well, you know, one of the things I wondered, and I guess I was about to ask you, is that it looks like the different kinds of new data, and I think the best read of the new data is that the skills themselves, the teaching of the skills themselves, seem to really lead to good outcomes in several areas. And I guess the question is, from Is It DBT, the last talk I heard from Marcia about this, it was that you want to be doing that and in the context of having there be some degree of coaching or case management available, and also ideally with somebody who knows this suicide protocol and who knows the DBT strategies to use during the teaching of the skills. So I wanted to know from you in what you're referring to now and the latest on this. I mean, is that your read of this? How much is it that it requires this kind of package that I just mentioned?
It's too early. I mean, if you're gonna answer the question just based on the data, it's too early. There's not enough data.
Right.
You know, the studies that are the best one, Valentine et al. Just came out with something, just this year it came out, and they do a comprehensive review of all the stuff that's out there on skills as a standalone treatment. And when you look at their data, some of it is, you know, quasi-experimental, and some of it is, like, really tightly controlled. And when you look across there, it does look like there's something about skills and skills use that is mediating the reduction. So it is somehow explaining any change that you see in suicide attempts, depressive symptoms, control and anger at the end of treatment and at follow-up. That's and in some other types of disorders, it seems like that's the case. But some of those really do have skills trainers who are, you know, they are very well trained. They know how to do DBT per se and use all the strategies. And they do have a team meeting, and they have coaching available for patients, and they have a suicide protocol. And then others, it looks like maybe not. So it looks promising. Mm-hmm. That's my read of it. If I'm with my science hat on and cautious, I would say it's too early to tell, but it looks pretty exciting. If I just had my practical hat on, I'm thinking we may eventually see the standalone skills training being very effective. And with your clients who are more highly suicidal, there'll be some additional pieces that are needed.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think? I mean, you've read the same data. You've heard some of the same talks. What's your impression?
Well, you know, I think I agree with you about being a little cautious about it, but there just keeps coming data, and it makes it look more and more promising. And I think the dots that are being connected are that it looks like the skills are the primary mediator for emotion regulation, and emotion regulation is the primary mediator for the reduction in a lot of maladaptive behaviors. And so there's different sets of data that kind of line up like that, connecting the dots. And so I think that, and I just, you know, add to that clinical, my experience last year, I had the chance to do two intensive trainings at the Kaiser Permanente group in the mid-Atlantic states of the United States and trained 28 therapists who started from most of them not doing any skills ever to a whole lot of skills training groups in the Maryland, Virginia, Washington, D.C. area. And then I got to supervise them all year, throughout the year, all the different groups. And they were all doing exactly what we're talking about. And they were doing 12 sessions at a time, sometimes 10 sessions, and for some, a couple of eating disorder groups, 20 sessions. And we don't have data from that yet. I'm actually going to do a new round with another 15 or 16 therapists next month or in April, because they all found it so encouraging. They're going to be looking at more data this time around, but it just looked like it was a knockout for them compared to, I mean, they've been doing this for years, working with the same patient populations in other kinds of groups, whether it's anger management groups or CBT groups. And these DBT groups really hit the spot for a large number of people and the therapists who got very motivated about it. So, and I taught them the strategies and we practiced it and taught them the suicide protocol. But people were not getting any real coaching except through secure messaging in their email system at Kaiser. And even there, not very much.
Interesting.
And the last thing I remember is when Shelley McMain presented their more or less skills alone treatment in Canada for a 20-week session, and I think you were there at that. Is it DBT? It was one of the first of these that got presented. They did offer coaching during the weeks, but when she reported on how many people actually used the coaching, it was pretty minimal. So it was really more just coming to skills group once a week, and it was mediating very good outcomes. So I think that's what we're seeing. I mean, I think it's still not nailed down or not clear why, but, you know, we're finally at the stage, 21 years since the first skills manual was published, of being able to look at dismantling studies in such a way as to see the role of skills. We still don't know what it is within the teaching of skills, because a point I want to make later in this call is that I think really good skills training carries, you've kind of got the large percentage of DBT is basically uploaded into the skills by now. So you really are using most strategies in DBT are codified in the form of skills as well. And if you teach them well, you're giving, DBT is skills to some degree. The title of this talk was partly the skills being the core of DBT, partly based on the data and partly just based on the skills manual already. And now the new skills manual, even more so, nearly every strategy group is taught as a skill somewhere in the manual. So,
that's exactly. I agree. What you do see is validation and dialectics strategies used by the therapist have now been turned into skills that are taught to patients. And I think that's a super improvement, chain analysis too. But, you know, even more broadly, I would say you've got all of, I think the reason why the skills are so powerful is, you know, Marcia has a gift. She has many gifts, but the one that has always just stunned me is she can take as a brilliant academic mind, scientist mind, translate whole manuals into a worksheet. The new Check the Facts genuinely is cognitive therapy in a nutshell. And so all the best of exposure therapy is kind of distilled and translated into everyday language. And so I think, you know, if you do the recommended set of skills training, you in essence are doing all of the best. It's kind of like the greatest hits of CBT interventions. So you would think you'd see some changes. You would, you know, just based on the sheer horsepower of each of the skills and the data behind them.
Well, I think that what I find, Kelly, in going through the new skills manual, and then I'd like to hear what you're hearing and the feedback you're getting from other people. I'm just one voice out here, but as I read through the new skills manual, and then I've been using it, nearly every page is now even though you've got pretty much all of the old skills still there. So thank God for all of us that have been teaching them a long time. We didn't have to throw much away. But when you look at the new skills manual, even the old stuff is modified here and there. And if you're pretty sensitive to it, it's just modified so much of the time in one little brushstroke after another, that actually you kind of almost are wise to throw out what you knew before and start over. I'm not given to thinking this way about reading new things, but I think this is just a complete knockout of a skills manual. I mean, it was already maybe the best skills manual out there, but it's just multiplied. And when she, even if you look carefully at things like the guidelines that you orient your new skills group to, if you read those carefully, they have pretty much all of the old guidelines, but it's a massive upgrade. The way she's organized them makes it very clear, and the way she's explained things that people used to always ask about,
the thing about sexual relationships
and no confidential relationships, all of which were kind of controversial and difficult to explain. She's just nailed it now on explaining those and the assumptions in DBT, the biosocial theory, the way she explains it has some new wrinkles in it that are consistent with data and that are better explained than before. So I just find, you know, I'm guessing that there's very unlikely there's going to be that Marcia will do a, I'll take this back, but she's going to do it, but a new edition of the treatment manual. Very complex. And what I think has happened is that a lot of the things she might have said in an upgraded skills treatment manual are in this. I mean, the explanation of the biosocial theory, the assumptions, the agreements, the various strategy groups, the way she explains how you manage dialectical tensions in a skills group in one of the chapters in the manual is really one of the best pieces I've seen. She just thought of every really relevant dialectical tension that gets going in running a skills group that shows that she's, you know, she brings it all together, like you say. There's just hard to do that.
Yeah.
I mean, it's clear she knows exactly what she's talking about from experience and theoretically from dialectics. It's just really great. I'm a little bit, you know, thumbs up. If you and I are Siskel and Ebert.
I'll give you some of the thumbs down. No, but I'll give you a few of the thumbs down. But I maybe
all
just
right.
to, for people who haven't had a chance to look yet, like what are we talking about? What is new? Maybe I'll just do a quick thumbnail of that. Does that make sense?
Absolutely. I think that's a good idea.
Okay. So as we've been talking about, this really, I agree with you, Charlie. This is her attempt at capturing all the stuff that an experienced skills trainer knows and distilling it and passing on that wisdom. And so what you see, there are two, now what was one book, which I have to say I was really fond of the size and colors and everything about the old one. So it is, it's a little hard for us old dogs to set that aside.
Yes, it is.
But it is. I put it on my little shrine. I have a shrine in my office. I put it up there. I may have to do a sacrifice or something. Anyway, so, but
we've
it's now two books.
We've gone from red to blue.
Yes, it's blue. It's not a pretty blue either, but nonetheless.
All right, one of your thumbs down is on artistic design. Hello. Hello.
Charlie, I think Kelly gets lopped off. She'll come back on. Somehow she gets booted off.
Yeah, am I off too?
No, you're on.
Oh, all right.
Yeah.
All right. We'll wait just a second.
Here I am.
There you
are. Therapist manual. Yeah, I have no idea why it's dropping, but here we go. The therapist manual has two parts. The first part is kind of all of the how-tos, and then the second part is all the how to teach. But that first part, Charlie, as you were saying, it really conveys all of the expert knowledge of a highly skilled group leader.
Yeah.
And it is priceless. I think, you know, as I was reading these, I kept thinking this should be standard for graduate school training. Just you have so much good stuff in there. And then the second part, and this gets to a little bit about what is new in the content itself, has it's meant to be more flexible. And so, like, what you see in there is that there are teaching schedules, proposed how to put the skills together if you have shorter amounts of time.
Yeah.
And what that is, it's pulled from, you know, like, different research teams tested what's a 6-month, what's a 12-week. And so what's represented in there are, like, shorter protocols that have actually got some data behind them. And that, I mean, I remember how people struggled with, okay, wait a second, what am I going to teach? What's the order? You know, I have to cut something. What should I cut? And
yeah.
So to have it laid out like that, that is sweet. Don't you agree? I mean, that I thought the teaching schedules itself was really great.
No, I think that that's really been helpful. And because there are several different ones for several different time frames, you can also really, and she encourages this in there, you really want to look at these and then adapt to your own group if you aren't doing one that's just like one of those research protocols. But it still gives you some good tips about what to include, let's say, in a 12-session group or in a 20-session group.
Yeah, I thought that was it. It was super. And then the more explicit discussion about how to run group, that's one of those things that nobody ever actually gets to learn in graduate school. I thought that was a pretty good, I mean, that could be a class in itself, really.
Yep.
I thought that was great. And then now, can I just run through what is actually new in the skills themselves? Would that?
Sure. Go ahead.
Okay. And jump in, Charlie, because I know you've taught some of this. So, you know, mindfulness remains core, and it's integrated at the beginning before you start up with any of the other modules. But interestingly, I thought loving kindness meditation has made its way in. Some of the synthesizing being mind and nothing to do mind, and that whole synthesis of, you know, between opposites, skillful means, has made its way in.
Yeah.
And the other stuff that was, I thought, super is being explicit about teaching mindfulness from a spiritual perspective. And, you know, the whole point that even if a therapist doesn't have a particular spiritual approach, often clients do, and it's some effort to link up, you know, this new approach and in with their own spiritual beliefs. And the ways in which you can appeal and bring in those spiritual beliefs as part of your recovery. So I found that actually quite wonderful. Like, I'm very glad that got in there. What did you have an opinion about that section?
Well, yeah. I first of all, if you go through the mindfulness skills, her teaching of them, one thing that's different, and it's different in the in general, in how you run a group, that I think it's a step up from what she had written in the book before. A lot of the things she just hadn't written in the last manual, but she would teach a lot. But it would be the, you know, orienting someone to the mindfulness skills and getting people committed to the mindfulness skills on the way in and looking at the pros and cons of learning the mindfulness skills are now all part of that. And it's just a good entryway in to get people alerted to it. And then there are the same 6 skills, and there is the same wise mind, though here and there, experienced teachers are going to see little things that are a little bit different. And the main thing they're going to see different, that we all see different, is massive numbers of practices and experiential exercises and instructions and clinical examples and worksheets. In other words, I mean, those of us who taught mindfulness skills before, you'd have, what, just a few pages and no homework assignments. Now you've got something like 40 pages in what used to be 5 pages, and they include all of these various things. And then what you're saying is also true, and I like the way Marcia put it, that because one of the thumbs down, I don't think it has to be a thumbs down, but let's just say a new learning challenge for some of us is going to be the number of choices we have to make.
Yes.
Because it used to be more cookbooky, like do this in week 1, do this handout week 2, you're done after 6 weeks in a module. Now it's got like, here's the 49 different things you can do in this module, you know, and here's the, but what's nice about it is she makes it really clear in various ways, like, here's the things I consider core. Here's the things I usually teach. Here's the supplementary ones. Here's the optional ones that you could do if you have more time, if you have a more advanced group. So that's what I really think by doing that, it Marcia made it possible to put some really interesting things in there that she couldn't put in the other one before. So she can put in the things on loving kindness or on the middle path that she's now got in there, or on the being mind and doing mind, which she pretty much brings from mindfulness-based cognitive therapy, where they were made a lot of that already. And she can bring all of this great stuff in and say, this stuff's optional, but the handouts on it are great, and the instructions about spirituality and mindfulness is like a text in itself. The way she's written that. So I agree with you totally. I love that she brought that stuff in, but if somebody can't just walk into this manual and just sort of say, okay, let me start with week one. I mean, you actually have to preview the whole module on what you're going to bring and what you're not going to bring in. And there's going to be some painful decisions about what to not bring in because there's so much good stuff.
Yeah, it might be a good time, since you brought that up, Charlie, to talk a little bit more about that aspect before we go on with the rest of the content changes, because there are more extensive teaching notes, and there's a lot of help offered to people, you know, like a main point box that sort of surrounds the key things with little check marks about stuff you want to make sure you hit.
Right.
But it's a lot, and same with their more clinical examples, you know, things you can actually work with when you're teaching. And there are more handouts so that there's a lot more flexibility and choice. But the amount of, I mean, consistent feedback from the folks who replied to my little informal survey is that you really do have to do prep. And it's hard to find the stuff that you, you know, especially if you have a reference point, so you're coming to this clean, you know, from the, you know, your old manual, looking for this one, it's hard. It can be overwhelming, unfortunately. So you, as a skills leader, you really have to go through, find the particular page. Otherwise, there'll be a lot of fumbling around. And in the skills group, you know, like, you need to kind of go through and really ace out what you're going to spend time on, as opposed to kind of wading through the manual handouts and going back and forth and simplifying and, you know, like, It can be kind of overwhelming, unfortunately. So I'd like to come back to that maybe, but I would just say now it's the one thing to plan ahead. If you haven't yet bought your book and you haven't yet started to teach from it, is structure it so you have time to go and actually figure it out. You know, because you're not going to be a walk in and quickly locate that handout like you're used to with your old one. Anything else to add on that now, or shall we go to more content, or what do you think?
Well, I'll just say about that, I do think that there's not only more handouts and practices, but there's more worksheets, they're now called not homework sheets, but worksheets. And what is nice, though, is that the handouts are nicely keyed to the worksheets, so you really can find them. But there hasn't yet been a training out where Marcia's been able to walk through with everybody, whether on videos or in real life, except people who've been maybe piece by piece to some of her workshops in the last few years where she's done different modules. But I do think that the best way to do this is going to be like the last manual. 21 years ago, before it came out, I remember the best way to learn this stuff is you struggle through doing it. You prepare for classes. Yeah. There will be trainings, but I don't think the trainings are going to quite do everything that you're describing that you need to do, which is to make this your own. It's going to be harder work.
I did see some little tabs. You know, if you're the kind of person who likes the little index tabs that stick out and are different color-coded,
right?
There are some little tabs like that. I think they're on the Behavioral Tech, or maybe that's Linehan Institute, that you can label your skills manual with, And mm-hmm. I don't know if I'll buy those or I'll make my own, but I think for sure you're going to need something that will let you quickly flip
right.
and find stuff. So, yeah.
Yeah, but Kelly, why don't you go on?
Yeah.
We're a little over half of our time. I wonder if you could want to jump in and make some sort of overview comments about some of the other modules.
Modules, yeah, that seems good. So emotion regulation, the coolest part about that is, you know, when the skills manual got written, there wasn't a lot on emotion regulation.
Yeah.
It was really what you saw distilled there was the best exposure-based therapies that were out there, really. And now what you have in that section is way more research-based interventions.
Yeah.
So you've got new emotions, discussed envy, jealousy. You've got check the facts, which genuinely brings in a lot of great cognitive therapy. Problem solving, which I have to say was in the very earliest manual that I got trained on back in graduate school, but got cut in the first manual, but that's back.
Yeah.
More expanded opposite action, that was good. Reorganized and sort of expanded skills for reducing emotion vulnerability. Value stuff, which I wish, you know, I have to say that's one area where I wish there was even more, but that's okay. Nightmare and sleep hygiene protocols, and then a really nice stuff on recognizing extreme emotions. So
mm-hmm.
that area, I think, got some very nice uplifts. Shall I go on to the stress tolerance? Or?
Yeah, I think so. I think there's just lots to say about all these things, but I like that overview.
Okay. Then distress tolerance, you know, the new tip skills, the manual took so long to get out that it doesn't feel that new now, but, I mean, I think everybody knows what the tip skills are. But these ones of kind of what do you do when you're really, really are at your peak of emotional arousal, those skills are very nice. The addiction skills, this is really Marsha's attempt to distill the substance abuse treatment manuals into a set of skills, so those are very nice and included. So things like dialectical abstinence, clear mind, some of the community reinforcement ideas, burning your bridges, alternate rebellion, adaptive denial, stuff like that. And then the stop skill, I just think that there's some improvements in here that were very nice, very helpful. And then finally, the interpersonal effect. Go ahead.
Say to people, I know what you're talking about, but when you mentioned the stop skill, since it wasn't there before, and if people haven't yet looked at this, we wanted to explain what that is.
Yeah, go for it.
Well, wasn't that the one where you are the idea of a stop skill is to the S is for stop, I think, and the T
yep.
is for take a step back,
mm-hmm.
and then observe. The O is for observe. And what, the P is plan?
What proceed mindfully.
Proceed mindfully. So it's really just a stop, look, and listen skill. But it's really when you've been taken over by emotion mind and you're on your way to impulsive action. So it completely fits into the whole idea of using the distress tolerance crisis survival strategies, but it's a really nice and easy to remember, though I forgot the P. still relevant,
you have the gist.
How easy it is, but it really is this idea of stopping and being able to observe and then being mindful for the moment. And at that moment, you might choose to use any number of different crisis survival strategies. And so I think it was just a nice addition along with the tip. The tip and the stop
mm-hmm.
are just fit nicely in, and I like the inclusion of the addiction skills, mainly just because everywhere I go, I'd say in this country as well as in Europe, that I get more and more questions. More and more people are trying to integrate this with substance abuse, whether it's teenagers
mm-hmm.
or adults
mm-hmm.
and families. And so I think it's really good that she put this in this manual rather than people having to dig through the literature and find it somewhere else, the addiction skills. I mean, they're not that unrelated to the addiction skills are pretty close to things you would use even for other preoccupations, let's say, besides addiction.
I agree. I definitely feel the same way. I think the you know, the interpersonal effectiveness, taking a look at those ones. I just want to say hallelujah for reworking the priorities worksheet. There's the evilness of that one, and instead now starting with the Dear Man Give Fast. Just think that that's so much. There's some better organization in that. The V for validate in mm-hmm. give skills has been expanded, which is fantastic. There is more on building relationships and also ending destructive or interfering relationships. And then this walking the middle path, you know, there's stuff that's added, dialectics validation, applying contingency management, you know, things like that, more on assertiveness that I found very useful, but the one I felt genuinely the most excited to see explicitly taught was the general skills, like doing chain analysis and missing link analysis.
Mm-hmm.
That,
yeah.
I was thrilled that those made the cut and that that's in there because it's such a basic, important skill, and it's great to have it so laid out. So I would say, Charlie, just going through my notes here, those were the main, feel free to add here, but to me, those were the main new things worth highlighting. How about you?
Well, I'd agree with that. I really liked that Marcia now does, you know, in her previous interpersonal skills, there's a lot of this manual that take really important one-liners from the previous manual and spell
yeah.
them out in enormous detail. Like
yeah.
end hopeless relationships was on page one of the manual or first handout for interpersonal effectiveness. No one knew. None of us know when to end a hopeless relationship. I mean, or when a relationship becomes hopeless, it's really hard to know that. And mm-hmm. I mean, unless it's so obvious. And so this, she's really taken and spelled out, you know, how do you build
yeah.
relationships? How do you get people to like you? I mean, these really
yeah.
tender problems. How do you stop a relationship? You know, what do you do before you stop it? She's just got a lot of stuff in there that's really quite sensitive and well put in the manual mm-hmm. about those and some handouts on those. And like you say, she's really expanded on validation. She's expanded a lot on how to think dialectically. And I love what she's done. We sort of went by with distress tolerance, but I think it's been creative teachers have worked really hard to teach what radical acceptance is, come up with examples and do all kinds of things
yeah.
with that. And now she's just done a lot more with really careful thinking about what are the steps to radical acceptance. I mean, how do you start out and accept something that you can't accept? Because these things,
mm-hmm.
once you get down to the real stories that people have, you know, how do you radically accept something? How do you radically accept something that you can't accept? I mean, what about when you get stuck? And what I like about Marcia is she's courageous in taking on these sensitive topics, the same way she took on the topic in her first book of what do you do about touch in psychotherapy, and nobody
mm-hmm.
else would comment on. And
yeah.
she's just taken on these touchy subjects in a courageous way, but she doesn't come down too dogmatically about what you do. She
yeah.
gives a lot of, she really thinks dialectically about them. So I think the
yeah.
addition of some of those things, turning the one-liners like end hopeless relationships or build structure in your life. And I think she just wanted to put everything in here. I mean, there's a reason this took a lot of years to get out.
So Charlie, that would lead me toward one of the, you know, this is the one thing any of the folks who are going to be using it for the first time is it
yeah.
can be overwhelming.
It is.
And, and there's, I think the critique that I would have, just knowing, like, this is somebody's life's work. It's like, I wish there had been an editor, and maybe there was a rushed press or something, but an editor that would have come through and really had more of a information architecture kind of mindset or a kind of a layout mindset just to really help, because the handouts and such are a little prose heavy. It's a lot of writing. There's not as much visual. There's not as much, you know, clear. There's just a way to lay out a page that would be kind of cleaner. And I wish there had been that and a little bit better more focus on how can you use these manuals in a smooth way so that the design was a bit better. Because I'm looking at some of the comments that people had about trying this out.
Yeah.
And I think, you know, they could be solved relatively easy. So I do hope there's maybe soon an overhaul, but that's more of a, not of the content, but of the layout of the content, so it's easier.
Mm.
And ditto with, you know, it's because there are variations, like I love flexibility, but when you have three handouts or three worksheets you could have your client do, it can be overwhelming. And so, you know, to give yourself, if you're doing this for the first time, to give yourself the time to look, to really see, okay, this one's for that, that one's for this, you know, therefore, with my group, I'm going to give them the choice between these two, you know, because if you don't have that, it can be quite overwhelming to try to figure out which handout or which worksheet will I really use. So that's, I would say those were my thumbs down and kind of thumbs down from others who have been using it. It's a little hard to navigate. There's kind of some fumbling around, a little overwhelming. And yet, on the whole, I have to say, I would rather get a total brain dump from this woman.
Yeah, that's kind of what it is. And I'm sure they worked hard. I mean, I think this became a huge, huge manual, probably bigger than anybody anticipated when it started, like 700-800 pages. And what do you do then? And they finally made this key decision to divide it into two manuals, the handouts and the teaching manual. And still, I agree, and I just think it's sort of like what I felt about a lot of Marcia's work anyway, is that she does so much. I mean, when I read her treatment manual and think, what did she write by the time she was 50 years old? Are you kidding me? She knew all of this and put this together this way. And it is, and it's a hard book. And now this is a hard book, but it, because it's not only just the skills manual, it's the skills manual and how you teach the skills with every strategy group and all of the agreements and the targeting. And it's, she's sort of, so much work went into this, but I do think that there's a lot of room left now that you're defining. So Kelly, why don't you write it? They sort of, how to navigate the DBT skills manual for dummies, you know? And it's like one of those dummies manuals. I mean, it's sort of like you get your iPhone or your, you know, and you still need a book, and then you need a book to orient you to the book. I still barely do one-tenth of what I could do with my iPhone if only I knew, got oriented to it. But it is true, and I think that the best way to get oriented to this, given that we don't have that and given that it's laid out this way, is to go through it once.
Yeah.
With yourself, with a colleague,
patiently.
With your team.
I would just say to add to that, Charlie, patiently. Just not giving yourself much grief.
Right, exactly. It's not, you know, those of us who are used to clipping along. I mean, I remember the first time I taught the skills, 1989 probably, in a hospital unit in White Plains. And we had three different groups teaching, and we were all learning to teach. Actually, Perry Hoffman was a teacher with another doctor in our unit of one group. Cindy Sanderson and I taught a group, and someone else taught a group. And we were all teaching these things. And, you know, it took us several times teaching everything to start to just say, oh, there's six of these core skills. It isn't the whole world of meditation. It's six skills. Oh, okay.
It took
like three times through to start to feel like, I get it. Oh, yeah, wise mind. That's what we're trying to do here, wise mind. Oh, that's the big concept. And, yes, it could have been written better, but there's no substitute for taking it, and then you have to work it through the first time and take time. But I agree with you. It would have been nice if there was a layout that sort of was a little gave you a little bit more schematic clarity. My guess is that when Marcia puts out some stuff about how to teach these things, it'll probably get a little clearer. But like I say, even at the beginning of the first manual, you do your most learning when you teach it.
Exactly.
Yeah, I wish
there was no substitute.
There's a lot of worksheets to decide about, but most of them are prioritized so that, you know, worksheet A versus worksheet B, worksheet C in a given worksheet, A is probably what you want to start with. And you use that, and then as you get to know them, I think things will get kind of clearer by the third time through teaching.
Yeah.
Brain dump is the word. That was just an enormous amount here. And so I just wanted to say one step further about that this would be about this manual. It kind of highlights it for me, but I think it's skills in general, what I said towards the beginning of our conversation. I've been more and more impressed that the gap between the DBT strategies, the sort of 85 or so DBT strategies, and what was up to now, like 105 or so DBT skills, there was a significant overlap already. In other words, we need to do, as therapists, we need to use the skills in order to teach the skills to the patients. And there's way more of that in this manual. When Marcia, for instance, talks about what do you do when you get judgmental, when in the section on teaching mindfulness, says how do you handle it as a therapist when you start yourself to get impatient, frustrated, and then actually notice yourself getting judgmental. And, you know, she goes into it for a page or two, where she says, well, here's what you need to use. And she goes through about 12 skills that you need to use when you're getting judgmental in order to teach how to not be judgmental. So the distance between the skills and the strategies and what you said, I mean, cognitive therapy is now more embodied in check the facts and problem solving than it ever was. And exposure procedures are more embodied and more widely embodied in the acting opposite than ever before. And in the middle path stuff, there's more about reinforcement and contingencies than ever before. I mean, there's almost no strategy that isn't now codified as a skill. So you really have got it all. You've got it all there. And it's going to be a little complicated, actually, to think what is the difference. A strategy is basically a skill for therapists for the purpose of teaching skills.
Charlie, the thing it makes me, you know, as I was reading the actual manual, the therapist manual, I kept having a thought, I would like my clients and all of their loved ones to read this. Because if you made it be where all of us think of ourselves as therapists, you know, we all need those skills. I think there may be value. I know it's expensive, really, but I think there may be value for people getting the manual itself, whether you're a therapist or not. Do you have an opinion about that?
You mean the actual teaching manual, not you don't mean...
Yeah.
Well, like you said, though, that also, it is a highly cognitive, highly dense thing. So it depends, I think, people who are comfortable with that and can use that.
Yeah.
Yes, I mean, and the stuff in there, I think it'd be useful. I've had a similar thought. It's just a fantasy of opening up a group in my town, and it's a group for therapists, patients, parents, and people of all persuasions that just want to come and study the skills. It's like studying the Talmud, you know. It's like let's have a Bible study group or a Talmud study group. Let's have a DBT skills manual study group. And let's look at these different resources, including the skills manual and including the handouts, because there's such richness there and they're the stuff. You know, I'm a parent. I still struggle as a parent with a 16 and a 20-year-old boy and their challenges and as a husband and as a therapist and as an administrator and as a supervisor, you know, and I need these same sets of skills in every one of these settings, and so do they. So it's that's what I mean. It's getting kind of interesting to realize that the very things we all need are the same things.
Yeah.
I mean, this skills manual should be for both for consumers and families and therapists and skills trainers. It just, you know, they are the vocabulary for being effective and tolerating and regulating. So, I just think It'd just be cool, actually, if people start doing different things with this manual. If there was a way other than, let's say, the DBT listserv, maybe it'll come out over the next year in NEA BPD's call-in series, then maybe people will bring some of their examples and some of their personal experiences building on our call today.
That would be fantastic. You know, there's the DBT therapist wiki we could put some stuff on, and I would be thrilled to see that kind of conversation go. But I do, you know, I want to hear what else you might have to say, but the other thought I was having just reading it is I think about Marcia's age and all of our selves getting older. I know there are the young whippersnappers coming up, but when a person has led a life like this and been a scientist and a contributor in the way that she has, and then they do their last big thing, there was a certain heft to the book besides its actual size for me to just really think of this was her best effort of getting across all she's learned through all these years. And I certainly have been impatient, like, where is it? And it took a long time, but I feel really grateful for the persistence that got this, you know, out of her head onto the page. And a kind of an excitement to now work with it. So I do hope there will be some flow of ideas here about, you know, the various ways people use it and how that all takes shape. I hope that people, because it's so exhaustive, I hope it won't curtail people's creativity. You know, because that has been some of the most fun shared learning amongst all of my colleagues, you know, is how have they taught and what were the bazillion exercises and all that.
You know what? I love the way you put that, the gratitude that you feel. I think that when I first heard how big it would be, and then when I first saw it, probably my first response I wouldn't say on this call. I just thought, oh no, this is going to be really hard. And then the combination of reading page by page and thinking about what you just said about, yes, Marcia wants to make sure she gets all of this out there to people. Yeah. And you know what? If it takes us extra time to tease it out and sort it out, or just to go page by page instead of thinking we need to go chunk by chunk.
Yeah.
Right. It's going to take longer, you know, but this is the magnum opus of a brilliant person.
Yeah.
who is as mission driven as anybody I've ever seen work this long. So it is a huge, I mean, I think it increased my patience enormously and made me think, all right, well, what better do I have to do than to figure this out now? You know, she
exactly.
is that much smarter than me. She is that much more clear about all these things. You know, she does advance the cause. It's worth it, but yeah, challenging.
So Charlie, we're just coming up on the hour.
Any last thoughts you have? It's been good to talk to you, Kelly. It's been a long time since we've done one of these things, and I look forward to Northampton. I'll just say again to people, if they weren't on at the beginning of the call, that you and I are doing another advanced 4-day workshop March 2nd to 5th in Northampton. The ones we've done before have been really the most, I don't know, the highest level and most gratifying teaching, I think, I've done. You're just an unbelievable teacher, and I think we have different styles that work together. So, for people who are interested in that, they can look it up at website cutchinscare.org. CUTCHINS, cutchinscare.org. There's some much more detail about it there and about another training I'm doing, and basically a 10-day comprehensive training. So, also,
hey, Charlie, can I put in a plug too?
Absolutely.
We have our learning community enrollment is now open for new members. We do that once a year, and so if people are interested in that, they can go to www.practiceground.org. That would be fun too.
Yes, and I'll put in my last one. I didn't realize there's all these plugs, but you know, on this year I'll be putting out a book in Guilford Press.
Woo-hoo! goes, Charlie?
I've been working on it for a couple of years, and now I can actually see the end coming, and they're hoping to have it out by DBT time. The title isn't there yet, but it's really about if you really know in depth the principles of DBT while you're doing the practice, how does that make you more flexible, more fluid, more competent, more effective, and how do you navigate impossible situations? And so I'm hoping that'll be out by then, and a website. It's taken me about 29 years to figure out how to have somebody do me a website. But I picked a domain name, Kelly, called the DBT Classroom.
And fun.
So I'll have that out sometime in the next, I don't know, couple months, I think. So anyway, we should get off the phone. It's actually 9 o'clock East Coast time anyway. And it was great to talk to you. And I really appreciate NEABPD continuing to do these fabulous things. I thank Perry. I don't know, Perry, are you going to come back on or not? Or are we saying goodbye?
I'm on, and I'm chomping at the bit before you hang up, because I really would like to extend an invitation if the two of you would do some sort of workshop like you're talking about. I mean, there's so many of us out there looking at these manuals thinking this is fabulous, but we do need some support and help in walking through them. And if you were to do a two-day workshop and invite, you know, everybody who could come, and I just think it would be fabulous. Are you guys up for that?
That's an interesting idea.
Yeah, possibly. I think,
as long as there was beer involved, Perry, so that we could take the edge off, I think.
Yeah.
As long
would that be possible? As long as we could do it over a happy hour. Like, there should be at least some part of the skills manual that involves a happy hour.
Okay, that's a deal. No, but I've been trying for a few months to see if we could get somebody to do this, but if the two, and this call was the beginning of that, actually. So I'm hoping if we seriously could maybe follow up, the three of us, and see if we could make this happen, because I think we'd be oversold in a few days, just like this call was.
All right. Well, let's talk off the phone about this, and that's a great idea.
Okay, fair enough. So I'll send an email to the two of you, and we'll see when we can maybe connect over the phone.
Okay.
And thank you so much for this. The calls, I don't even know how many people are on this call, but well over any other call we've ever had. So thank you.
Great.
Thanks,
great.
So.
Okay, have a good night, everyone. Thank you so much.
Night,
bye-bye.
Kelly. Bye-bye. Bye-bye.